second chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And you shall speak my word to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear. Martin Franklin once offered the opinion that a sermon on a saint is usually a pretty mangy affair. And if there's any truth to that view, we ought to take double note of it today, since being under both St. Peter and Paul on the 29th of June. And if it were to be a sermon on a saint, it probably would be a pretty mangy affair, because we've already had the confession of St. Peter and the day of the conversion of St. Paul in this year. What is left to say on the day of St. Peter and Paul is it to be a sermon on a saint? Well, as we noted from the Augustana on Monday, we do not observe saint days and remember them to have sermons on them, but to hear of their faith and to emulate their life and their work. And with that in mind, the lesson, which is one of those traditionally associated with the day of St. Peter and Paul, serves us as pastors and preachers in the church and as those who aspire to the office very well. You shall speak my word to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear. There is something in common with the call and ministry of Ezekiel and the call and ministry of St. Peter and Paul that we would hope to be shared in our call and ministry. In the brief time we have today, commit only three points to be made. Number one, the ministry is a call. Ezekiel did not volunteer to be a prophet of the Lord, but rather in that spectacular and tremendous vision we have in the first chapter, God called Ezekiel and told him he would put his words into his mouth and that he would speak in the place and in the name of God. Peter was found at the lake by his boat with his brother Andrew when our Lord came to him and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the Apostle Paul was hardly in the position of volunteering for service in the Lord's gospel ministry when he was on his way to Damascus with letters to arrest those who followed the way. And in a sense, so it is with us. Not the dramatic light, not the blindness, not being thrust to the ground, not called away dramatically from our position of life, but without a call, we have no business to go. Without a call, there is a key, the one we call the inner call, that conviction with God the Holy Spirit works in us that we should serve him in the ministry. I've done enough applications here in the last 5 years to know that almost every one of you wrote something about that conviction. You couldn't explain it, but God, you felt, was the one calling you. And then there is the other way of God's call, and that is through his church, through his congregation. One does not volunteer. One is called to the ministry. The second point that we note in the calling and the commissioning of the prophet Ezekiel is that it was not a burden to be called, but it was a measure of personal involvement and of great joy. The whole account of the presentation of the scroll and that Ezekiel should eat that scroll And when he eats it, he says, it was as sweet as honey. This word that God had given to Ezekiel to proclaim was a word that caught and captivated him. It was a word for Ezekiel as well as a word for others. He was not some professional putting in his time, be it 8 to 5 or even with greater dedication, but uninvolved. And can one imagine Peter and Paul uninvolved in the message? Will you also go away? To whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. And this word of God's grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ was a word for Peter and Paul, as well as for their hearers. And they had a devotion and a dedication to that word for their own sake and for their ministry. I am determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The people who charged Paul with not being a genuinely called apostle, he knew of his call. He was called by God and not through man. He did not ask for men's approval, but he knew that God had called him to saving faith in Jesus Christ and had commissioned him to share the news of his death and resurrection for forgiveness of life. And that was not a burden. It was not some awful load that God had placed on him. Not some unbearable task that he'd rather escape from. But all of Paul's ministry and all of Peter's ministry as well is stamped with that word of Ezekiel. Your words were to me as sweet as honey. And I would suggest so it must be for you and for me. If we ever consider the call to the ministry a burden, some thankless job that God has unfortunately heaped upon us, if we ever get to the point of one pastor who frankly said, I hate being a pastor, let us all pray most fervently that God gives us the brains and the common sense to resign, to do as one Lutheran theologian offered as an option, pump gasoline. Do anything but try to proclaim the message of redemption and forgiveness if it does not own you and control you and move you and motivate you and give you the greatest thrill you can imagine in life. If ministering to God's people and proclaiming His word isn't as sweet to you as honey, maybe you ought to find something else to do. But those of us who have been around in this business for a while can assure you that as you grow in your own faith and in your life in Jesus Christ, that in the power of His forgiveness, that task will be the most joyous, marvelous thing you can imagine. And he will be like the retiring pastor when someone said, did you ever think of doing anything else? And he immediately said, why, absolutely not. I wouldn't have given up that for anything. The word is as sweet as honey. And the third point that we can derive out of this text is that our task is to proclaim, not to produce results. We live in one of those awful times of church history when success has been deemed the hallmark of the church. When people are treating the victorious life, possibility thinking, and that God wants to give you everything your mind and heart desire. I would suggest that Ezekiel and Peter and Paul would not recognize such a ministry. Have you ever thought what it might be to look at a modern call list in a congregation with descriptions for these three men put together by some ecclesiastical machinery? Ezekiel, fanatic, has weird visions, was silent for seven whole years. When his wife died, he didn't even mourn. He went right on preaching. Who would want him? About Peter, given occasionally the outburst of profanity, he cursed and swore that he did not know Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus once called him Satan. Hardly were he past the qualification. What about the vision he had of a sheet coming down that allowed him to break all kinds of time-honored traditions and rules for dealing with people? How about his table fellowship and some of the people with whom he associated? But the best is yet to be. Can you imagine St. Paul on a call list today? I don't think he'd get a single vote. In prison, incite people to riot in Ephesus, once was a persecutor, hardly has any credentials, didn't even ask for approval of established people in the church, went off into the desert somewhere for 14 years, we didn't hear much of him. In prison, beaten with rods, let out of town by that basket over the wall. And what kind of success? What monument did he leave behind? Where is his crystal cathedral with the 14,000 shimmering little stars that are being sold for $500 a piece? Where is the theology of the statistical yearbook with success orientation? I would suggest you don't find it. Because our God is not success. If the Lord gives success, fine. If he does not, that alters not our call one bit. Think of Ezekiel. You shall preach my word to them. Whether they hear or whether they refuse to hear, that is not your concern, Ezekiel. Your concern is to proclaim my word. And whether Peter or Paul found acceptance or success was not their concern. They were still determined to be known only as proclaimers of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it should be with you and with me. Our concern should be to preach in its fullness and beauty and majesty and compelling grandeur and love God's redemptive message in Jesus Christ for forgiveness and life. And the Holy Spirit is well capable of taking care of what happens to that word we proclaim and share. And after all, it really doesn't matter when a tombstone is erected over you if it says anything at all about sin. But it just might be important that someone will know that there has been a prophet in the land. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.